Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game. You can listen all around the world on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. Darren McFarland has stepped away for a few minutes before he has pregame coverage beginning at 12:30. Game number two between the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes, live from the bubble in Edmonton. Pete Weber, Hal Gill will have the call just after 1:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll have Pierre McGuire of NBC Sports here in just a few minutes, as he, of course, is in Edmonton, and he is here with us now. Pierre, how you doing?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How's it going?
Oh, man, we're doing great because hockey is back. It's been so nice to be able to watch some games over the last few days, and you're right there in the middle of it. And I want to start with one that you were on the call for last night, Chicago and Edmonton. This is a fun series through two games, because Chicago, not supposed to be there. They're the 12th seed, but they're the little engine that could. I know they dropped it last night. It's a 1-1 series, but I've liked how scrappy they've been so far.
Well, they deserve a lot of credit. They've played hard. They've played in your face, smart hockey, a real good puck possession game. They played in game one, and they really took the game to the Edmonton Oilers. They did an excellent job trying to stifle Connor McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Not an easy thing to do, the two-star players for the Edmonton Oilers, along with Leon Draisaitl. But if you watch last night's game, it was a Connor McDavid show. It didn't matter what Chicago did. Connor McDavid was taking the game over. He showed unbelievable leadership. He showed amazing athleticism. And to me, the biggest thing is just his will to compete and get his team over the top and to tie the series up was phenomenal. It really, he's a human highlight reel, and every single game he plays is must-watch TV. He's just a phenomenal talent.
I know this could be a silly question, but when you look at Connor McDavid, the game he had last night, the game that Edmonton had as a whole, it wasn't just him, but obviously he was the catalyst that got it going. How much did he need to do that? Did he need to have that dominant type performance to really show, hey, yeah, I can do this in the playoffs too?
I think that's a great point and a great question. And the truth is, he really needed to do it. There's huge expectation level on this team. I mean, they're playing basically on their own rink. Everybody else has had to make huge sacrifices. Now, once you get into the bubble, which I'm in, it's a very different experience. It's a unique experience. But it's an arduous experience. And, you know, being in Edmonton and not having to travel has made it a little bit easier for the Oilers. That being said, game one wasn't easy for them. Game two was easier, and it was easier because Connor stepped up and led the way. And he's going to have to do that the rest of the way if the Oilers are going to have any kind of success. They're still a little short on defense. They're not super great in goal. Even though they're competent in goal, they're not super great. But they've got some work to do. There's no question about it.
Somebody that we got to know here in Nashville, and to be honest with you, miss here in Nashville, is James Neal. It didn't work in Calgary. He's with Edmonton. He's got two goals so far through two games. How important has he been to that club that has a mix of the young guys and the veterans?
Well, I think the veteran experience that he brings and the fact that he's been to a Stanley Cup final helps him with street cred in the dressing room. He's also been part of a World Junior gold medal team for Team Canada back in 2007 in Leksand, Sweden. So that helps him. The players know about everybody's pedigree, so that helps him. But I think the biggest thing for James is accepting his role. He's more of a depth player now, and if he can provide supplemental offense to this team from a depth position, I think that helps a lot. But one of the things I like is he's working hard. He's paying attention to little details. He's being very positive with his younger teammates, and I think that helps him be more of an effective player and more of an effective leader.
Another guy that we know quite well is Kevin Fiala, now with the Minnesota Wild. And game one was fun with that one, the Wild getting it. They have a 1-0 series lead. Why do you think that Kevin Fiala has worked there so far in Minnesota?
he seems to have an amazing relationship with Dean Evason, the coach of the Minnesota Wild now. He was the head coach for Nashville's farm team for a long period of time in Milwaukee, and so Kevin played for him, and they seem to have a tremendous bond and a tremendous amount of respect for one another. I think that's helped. He's also playing up in the lineup. He's playing, you know, with top players, especially playing with a player like Eric Staal helps you a lot. So he's had opportunities to play with really top players, and I think that helps him a ton. But the biggest thing is his confidence with the puck right now is phenomenal, and he's shooting it so darn well. So you put it all together, you got a real good player.
Vancouver, in my opinion, is one of those teams that you need to watch out for here in the next few seasons. I like how they're being constructed. They're down 0-1 in this series. Do you feel like later on tonight, it's the last game of the night, that they will get this tied up and make it 1-1?
Well, I'm doing that game later tonight, so we'll see how that all plays out. But what I would tell you is that Vancouver is being built properly. Vancouver's future is amazingly bright. I don't know if it's going to translate to this year just because it's such a different experience, especially for the younger guys. But tonight's a huge game for them. And if they can push back physically, I've never seen Minnesota play as physical as they played in game one. And I do a lot of Minnesota Wild games. If they play the same way, I'm talking about Minnesota, and Vancouver doesn't push back, it's going to be a problem for the Canucks. If the Canucks can dictate the terms speed-wise and physically, then I think we're going into game three all tied up at one.
Pierre McGuire is with us, the NHL, on NBC. Before I get into the Predators and the Coyotes, we've seen that the Dallas Stars, they're in the round robin, and the Predators saw them in the lone exhibition game. They didn't have a great end to the regular season before the pause. Should Stars fans be worried about that team right now as they lost to the Vegas Golden Knights yesterday?
Well, first of all, Vegas is a really good team, and Vegas got that done yesterday without Max Pacioretty, who's one of the best pure offensive talents. So I'd be a bit concerned by that if I were Dallas. The thing to me is when Dallas went up 3-1 in that game, I was there watching it. I was like, oh, they're totally in charge. They're totally in control, and this is in Vegas' afternoon. It was an afternoon game. And then all of a sudden, Vegas just took the game up another notch, and Dallas couldn't keep up. And I was really surprised by that. I was really, really surprised by it. So it's something that Dallas is going to have to, you know, wrap their head around in terms of strategy and player personnel and how they're being deployed. I wouldn't be overly concerned because you never know in these round-robin games just how hard the teams are competing. They're competing a lot harder in the playoff series. But I would say this, if I were the Dallas Stars, I wouldn't want to do the same thing, have a two-goal lead going into a third period and lose it again. That would not be a good recipe.
Pierre, you know what Pecorine has meant to Nashville and meant to this franchise, and so it was a little weird seeing him not in the lineup in Game 1, a 89-game playoff streak snapped. With all that said, UC Saros, in my opinion, earned the job. He played tremendous towards the end of the regular season. He did enough in training camp to keep the job. What did you think about his performance in the loss for the Nashville Predators in Game 1?
There was nothing you could do on the first goal. I mean, I made the comment on the broadcast. You could give the Arizona player 100 pucks and say, do the same thing, and he couldn't do it again. It would be impossible. I mean, so that you can't blame on UC Saros. I thought there were times in the first period where he looked a little shaky, and sometimes that can rattle your bench. But I would say this. He competed, and he gave his team a chance to win, which is positive. I don't know if they go back with him or not, but the one thing I'd say is it was very strange seeing Pecorine stand on the bench. I was sitting and standing right next to him over the course of the game, and this is for the Nashville fans more than anything else. You couldn't have a better representative for your organization. You talk about a guy that bought in and was supporting his teammates and supporting UC Saros. A lot of guys in this league would have pouted and moped and really complained or, you know, had a sourpuss. Not Pecorine. I was blown away by his professionalism and how he handled himself as a player and as a person.
Yeah, Pierre, I mean, when I go and do interviews in other markets and they've asked me about this and how unique it is that you have the heir apparent in UC Saros and the guy that has done it all for the franchise and has been here in Pecorine, what that's like, I say, well, the biggest fan in the building for UC Saros is Pecorine. And he has been. He's been supportive of him, and he's helped him. And you just don't see that a lot in sports, of the guy that's trying to take your job of, well, you know, I'm going to mentor him and I'm going to compete. He's not going to just roll over, and he hasn't. But I think that's what's been so unique but also beneficial to UC Soros is having a guy in Pecorine that he can lean on and get advice from.
100% agree. And I saw that on I forget the days. I apologize. I'm doing two and three games a day, and I'm watching six or seven. So I apologize a day, but with game one, let's do it that way. I totally agree after witnessing game one.
What is that like for you of being there in the middle of it? You're there in Edmonton. You're in the hub city, the bubble. But, you know, you just mentioned it, all the games that you're doing each day, having to watch all of that. I mean, that's obviously unique from what you usually do.
Well, it's very similar to what I do at the Olympics, because at the Olympics are usually three or four games a day is what I do, and sometimes it'll be on the men's side and sometimes it'll be on the women's side. So it's a lot of similar, you know, type of preparation and similar types of understanding. The difference here is I kind of know the league pretty well, so it's not the same as what you do in the Olympics where it's different. But, it's a lot of work. You're standing on your feet a lot. You got to get to the gym to try to get the cobwebs out from a short night of sleep. But it's something that I have a huge passion for, and I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity to be there, and I love working for NBC. You know, I've worked for them for 15 years, and I'm really appreciative of the company and the way they've treated me and my family, and they really tried to grow the game, and that's something that I really appreciate. That's a big reason why I left Canada to come down to NBC and broadcast, because I know their commitment to hockey and how much they want to try to grow the game in the United States.
Pierre McGuire, NHL on NBC, here with us. Something that we discussed time and time again with this Predators team, especially this season, when you look at their inconsistencies, is when there is a something that goes wrong in a game, a bad bounce, for instance, on the Ekman-Larsson goal in game one, it feels like that sometimes it snowballs out of control for them. From your standpoint, from the 10,000-foot view, as they like to say, why do you think that is? What is it that goes wrong with them that they can't seem to bounce back right away from it?
You know, it could be veteran leadership. I'm not in the room, so I really couldn't tell you exactly, but it could be a bunch of things. Could be a lack of confidence, could be, you know, limited internal leadership. It could be a bunch of different things. It could just be made up of the way the team is built. Nobody knows, but I can tell you one thing. They're an intense group. They care about one another. I didn't hear anybody whining and complaining and screaming at one another. Sometimes I hear that down at ice level, but I didn't hear that from the Nashville players. I don't know what goes on inside their dressing room, but it's something that they're going to have to fix, because it truly is a problem. If you're not able to handle adversity and overcome it, it's a problem. It's a big problem, and it's something they're going to have to figure out pretty quick.
Pierre, I sat with you at the Winter Classic in Dallas, and we had a conversation. We've had several conversations about Ryan Johansson as somebody that you know. You've watched him his entire career, and that, you know, things seemed off. He wasn't having a Ryan Johansson-like year. He admitted that himself. I know it's one game, but what were your observations of him? Does he feel like that he's trending back towards the Ryan Johansson that we all know?
I had a long talk with him walking into the rink before game one. It was really a fantastic conversation. I got the sense that he really understands where he needs to be at this time in his career as a player and as a person. I think he really cares about the success of the organization. I think he knows how hard he needs to work. I thought he tried to push pretty hard the other day. Things didn't go his way. It didn't go the way for most of his line mates. I thought, you know, Philip obviously played a really strong game, Philip Forsberg. But I do think Ryan cares and is ready to compete. I think the biggest thing is he's just got to get some success, and then it'll just start to snowball. But he really, the thing that I've been blown away about Ryan over the course of his career in Nashville is the maturity. Every single year you can see he's become more and more mature.
Pierre McGuire, NBC Sports. Hey, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy all the games and your time in Edmonton, and we'll do it again soon.
Fantastic visiting with you, gentlemen. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the game today between Nashville and Arizona. Take care.
All right, thanks, Pierre. Pierre McGuire, the NHL on NBC. You see him in between the benches through a lot of these games. Pregame coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will talk more about the matchup between the Predators and the Coyotes next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Spoke with Philip Forsberg about this, and it's spoken so often about fast starts and teams getting fast starts, but it doesn't always need to necessarily mean a goal being scored. So in your purview, what does a fast start mean, and how can a team continue to build on a fast start if they're able to achieve that.
Well, I think if you take an example of yesterday's game, the first 5 minutes of the game, I thought we were, you know, we managed the puck well. We were able to get in the offensive zone. We had some good shots, some good zone time. I thought we were playing fast and we were in control of the game up to that point. And then, you know, that's really, really getting out and establishing your game and trying to take control of the game right away and put the other team on their heels and put in a situation where you're more in an attack zone, attack setting situation. So, you know, that's what you mean. I think when you hear teams get off to a good start, that's exactly what it is.
Predators head coach John Hines with the media yesterday. Good question by Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. Welcome back in, Darren Donick and Chase. Here on ESPN 102.5, the game, Chase McCabe hanging out. We'll turn things back over to Darren at the bottom of the hour for the pregame show as game two will commence around 1:30 today. Pete Weber, Hal Gill will be on the call here on the radio side. So a fast start. This is something that I harp on a lot. I always say that this team, they play better when they get a fast start. But I thought it was a very good question by Justin because it doesn't always mean scoring first. Now, I'll get to that in just a second. But I liked the start that the Predators had in the first 3 to 5 minutes, maybe a little bit longer on Sunday. And then there was a bad bounce. Arizona scores first in the stat that I will throw out from the regular season came true because the Predators in the regular season were 8-20-4 when the opponent scored first. They were 27-6-4 when they scored first. So, yes, I do believe that that matters for this team because it's all about a confidence thing. But it's all about taking control. That's what the Predators are going to have to do today to start this thing off. They're going to have to take control back in this series. It's a best of five. It's not a best of seven. Somebody asked me on Twitter that if I thought the series would be over if they lost this game today, that is this a must win? I will say that in hockey and in this setup and in so many unknowns, you can't definitively say that anything is over. But yes, I do believe it's a must win. I believe that this team, just based on what I've seen in their history, in their recent history, of how their confidence works, how they can get shaken, how they can have a bad moment just turn into a snowball effect. Yes, I believe it's a must win. They have to go in and they have to take care of business with this one today. And I think they're going to do that. My official prediction is a 3-1 Preds win. I do believe they turn things around and they will right the ship, so to speak. And I think that will help them take control of this series because we've said it time and time again. They're the better team. On paper, they are the better team. On Sunday, they didn't look like the better team. Arizona did. Arizona came out with the nothing-to-lose mentality. We're not supposed to be here, so might as well go and win the whole thing. It's the major league mentality. Only one thing to do, win the whole beeping thing. And that's what Arizona sought out on Sunday with that 1-0 win, or with that win to go up 1-0 in the series. But I think that Nashville has the horses that if they all do what they're supposed to do, if they all play right, that they can get it done. I asked Pierre Maguire about Ryan Johansson. Ryan Johansson is a huge piece of this. And I've said it throughout this four-month break that if anyone benefited from this break, it's Ryan Johansson because he was the first to say this was not the season that he thought he should have. He is not playing the way that he should be playing with the amount of money that he makes and the commitment that this organization has made to him. You can make that argument for a lot of guys. Philip Forsberg didn't have a Philip Forsberg-like year. He had a good year, but there's definitely more there. Victor Arvidsson, we know the injury happened, and he never seemed to recover from that. He looked much better. And Matt Duchene is another one that you pay him a lot of money. He's got to go, and he's got to earn that contract. He's got to play better. So that's what you're looking for out of him as well. So what about the physical aspect of this? I thought that Arizona really pushed the Predators around. And you had Austin Watson in the lineup, but he only played 6 minutes. He was barely on the penalty kill. So what happens there? Hines was asked if there's any more they can do from a physicality standpoint to protect the middle of the ice.
Yeah, you know, I thought, I mean, we gave up the goal. You know, obviously early it was a busted play there where it was a, you know, a shot and a rebound, and then Hall got it and wrapped it around the net. You know, that's a situation where, you know, we had bodies there. It's just, you know, you, when you're there, you have to, you know, you have to be there and up and under sticks, and we were in position to defend it the right way. Unfortunately, we didn't in that situation. You know, and I think there were just a couple other positional things that we can do a better job of. But I thought, you know, for the most part, particularly off the rush in certain situations, it was pretty good. It was, you know, but we were loose on one for sure and paid for it. I think there was a couple others that Juice saved, but you know, there's going to be breakdowns in the game. But I think that our layers of defense and understanding what areas are the most dangerous, you know, particularly when the puck is below the goal line, that's not the dangerous player. The dangerous guys are the guys that are in the scoring area. So you have to make sure that not only do you just have bodies there, but you're up and underneath sticks and you're in people's face. So there is an opportunity for, you know, a rebound shot or a quick hit play from below the goal line to the slot.
I think this team has to, they have to find those guys that are willing to put their body there and put their body on the line and get in front of the net, get in the greasy areas. And if things get tough, they got to be willing to deal with it. That's the bottom line. They don't have the Brian Boyle or Wayne Simmonds anymore. They don't have those guys. They didn't bring them back. And the reason, in my opinion, is because that they hoped that some of these guys they did bring in, you know, would be able to get in front of the net and get in front of the goaltender and take those types of hits. We've seen Victor Arvidsson do it, but I don't want Victor Arvidsson to do it. I don't want him, the little guy, to get in there and take those kinds of hits. So the big guys in down the middle, the Ryan Johansons, the Matt Duchesnes, Austin Watson, I mean, that's what you're going to need them to do. Their physicality is going to have to step up, though. If they're not going to bring in those physical-type players because the game is changing, because it's getting faster, okay, I get that. But sometimes you're going to have to be able to take the body and give the body, and those guys that are on this team are going to have to be willing to do that. So that is something that I'm going to be looking for today in game number two, pregame coming up in just a few minutes. The goaltending question, I know that people are wondering, okay, do they go back to UC Saros? I do believe that they will. Pekka Rinne is waiting in the wings. He's available to you, but I didn't think that Sunday's loss was all on UC Saros. Pierre said it best. There were times where he was shaky, but I think you march him back out there and let him go and try and get game number two for you. That's going to do it for Darren, Donick, and Chase, but don't worry. We're just getting started. Darren McFarland, my co-host, is standing by for pregame coverage. That is all coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.